Hello and welcome to my latest MatchPod review for www.mufcglobal.co.uk. We want Glazers out, say we want Glazers out. And she's back in action this afternoon. They're away, not in a voice. Akin to win four games on the bounce, which is a hallelujah for a lot of people. It also goes to show how the standards at the football club falling through the floor. Falling through the roof's not a good thing either. Team news is in, and it's the first time apparently that Mamram has picked an unchanged team. So it's the team that played against Brighton. Lamens in goal, back three, De Ligt, Yoro and Shaw. Wide players Ahmed on the right, Dallow on the left, Casemiro and Bruno Fernandes as the midfield options, with Brian Mbeumo, Cunha and Matias Cunha and Benjamin Sesko as the front three. So as mentioned, United will be looking to make it four wins in a row. Nottingham Forest, they've been struggling this season. They've already been through two managers. Sean Dyche is in. Sean Dyche made some comments of Henry Boamarim when he was out of work on a podcast. I think, at the time, I think it was just a case of piling on Ruben Amorim at that stage. He was talking about changing his formation at that stage. I mean, Ruben Amorim, whatever you think about him, he's just stuck two fingers up to... I mean, it's probably harsh to call the people asking the questions idiots, but ask him, why didn't you change the system? He is not going to change his system. What he has actually done, he's probably changed the way United have been playing, with a lot more longer balls, going a bit more direct, but he's not going to change that system, and fair play with him. That is how he plays. When Manchester United brought him in as a manager, he would have told them that. I think said, this is how we'll play, and I'm not going to change it. It doesn't matter what players we've got, this is how I'm going to play. And I mean, there's still even issues at this moment. I mean, obviously the midfield is a big issue. I mean, for the first sort of 10 minutes or so, Brighton got into good positions last week, and then United sort of ratcheted a bit control, sort of from the from the 50th to the 70th minute. They controlled the game with a mad last 20 minutes, which we're sort of used to as United fans nowadays. Though I mean, to be fair, it was mad in the good old times, but the difference was we're probably a bit more positive about the fact that we were definitely going to get a goal or do something to get some kind of result. Post goals against Blackburn, fantastic. Well, the flick on was fantastic, and then Tevez to head the ball in. I've had a quick look at Forest's team, and to be honest, it's more the midfield I've looked at. I mean, they look like they've got a lot of good players. I mean, they finished, I think it was seventh last season or sixth. They got into the Conference League in the end, but it was all swapped around because of some dodgy UEFA ownership garbage. Our Forest midfield consists of Elliot Anderson, or their two, Elliot Anderson and Douglas Luiz, which I would argue long term is a better midfield than Manchester United have. Yes, Casemiro has been playing well recently, but at the end of the day, long term, is he going to be the player that sort of is going to be able to play that position in the formation that we're playing in the sort of with the two in midfield? And the other thing to think about, as I say, one game a week for Manchester United, players are going to, for the majority of the team, it will be, players are going to have a lot of rest time. It's very important. But, United next season, they'll be playing more than one game a week. Casemiro's not the man to be playing in that position. Let him have his season here, get into the World Cup squad, and shake his hand and say thank you if we can get to that position in the league. So getting United up that league table and securing European football. I mean, obviously, the target is Champions League football because of the financial issues at the football club and the extra leeway it will give it on the FSP. Forest obviously managed to do the double over Manchester United last season, but to be honest, there were plenty of teams that managed to do that. But I think the performance at the City Ground last season, I think United did deserve a point. Obviously, the early goal from Anthony Elanga, the usual start-up, well, it's because leaving United, every player becomes a mix between Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo, because that's easy stick to beat Manchester United with. But I thought United got themselves back into the game, and City, Nottingham Forest were just holding on towards the end. So, the problem was we couldn't score goals. And the person who got closest was Harry Maguire with a shot cleared off the line. He looked more dangerous in the last 10 minutes when we stuck him up front at the end of that match. But United are scoring goals quite freely this season, obviously, in Bromo. Kunju and Sesko coming in makes the difference, or has been making the difference. Obviously, well, when they spend $200 million, you hope they do. Sesko, who has got a couple of goals, he's been involved in some good link up play with the other two. As the central striker, maybe today's the day that he can get himself in and amongst the goals, and it'll be important for United to pick up the points today to carry on the run that they've been on. They won at Anfield. Can they win at the City Ground? We shall see. All done at the City Ground. It's finished. Nottingham Forest 2, Manchester United 2. Reality check, I suppose, will be what people will say about the game. But for me, what I saw and what I witnessed and what I listened to is pretty much what I expected in regards of this Manchester United side of a long, long way away, from especially from where Ruben Amorim wants them to be. But I think the fans need to be aware of the fact that we've won 3 games in a row. We've played reasonably well in those 3 games. We've battled hard in those 3 games, but there are always periods, and there have been periods in all 3 matches. Maybe in the Sunderland game, it was sort of towards the end of the match when it was 2-0 and it was a much shorter period. But there were times when United just completely not in control of any part of the game. And again, the midfield, running straight through Manchester United's midfield, was a big issue in the second half. And, United took the lead in the first half from a corner that wasn't a corner. It's questionable whether it was a corner or not. But fair play to Casemiro. We got up, got the goal. In the first half, that was basically 50-50. Let's be perfectly honest. There was not neither side really deserved to be leading. It was one of those where you would have to take your opportunity when it came. I did take the opportunity to go in a goal up. So you think, they have been actually starting games reasonably well. As I say, they weren't great against Brighton and for the first 10 minutes, but against Sunderland and against Liverpool they were goal up after a minute. They started the games well. They started, they weren't caught out at the beginning of this game against Forest either. But the start of the second half, what Manchester United were doing, I do not know. It's like the players thought, well, we're winning 1-0, maybe we shouldn't be a goal up, but we are, so we've taken the opportunity. Forest, we've got them at arm's length, Nottingham Forest. But for whatever reason, they just didn't get out of any sort of gear. At the start of the second half, and goals from Gibbs-White, it was set up well, and I think we will get this. I mean, Ahmed will get the blame for that goal, essentially. But I think that goal sort of comes from the fact we allow Nottingham Forest to just build up nice and easily, no pressure on the ball. Ryan Yates, who come on for Douglas Luiz, and as I say, Yates and Anderson, didn't say dominated the midfield, but Fernandes and Casemiro weren't great in that area today. But a lovely cross from Yates, and then, they targeted Ahmad. But to be honest, I remember when they used to target Patrice Evra at the back post. So, you've got to put pressure on the ball. Don't allow Yates had so much time and space to measure his cross. It was a joke. It was embarrassing, really. Just because you've a goal up, you think you can just sort of step off. And that was equaliser for Morgan Gibbs-White. And then within 90 seconds, they were 2-1 up. Somebody, fair play to Ndoye for keeping the ball in. But again, not a lot of pressure from the ball from United. There was some nice passing from Forest, but not a lot of pressure. The cross did. I don't know. I mean, the defenders seem to all get in each other's way. Dalot, ball watching. Forest player nips in, goes 2-1 up. And then Forest sort of takes sort of a bit of control of the game and could, and thankfully didn't, get a third goal, which I think would have finished off the match. Because this Manchester United side, when they are put under pressure and they go a goal down, they normally collapse. But thankfully they didn't concede a third goal from Forest. Forest did retreat. United got a little bit more control in the game. There was one shot that Bruno Fernandes did have during Forest, the time when Forest were sort of in the ascendancy, that did hit the post, and Casemiro tried to poke it in for the for an equaliser. But, you know, that happens. You have to sort of get up and get on with it and go again. And they did manage to get an equaliser from a corner, clearance out, and then Ahmad with a fantastic volley. He's been trying a few of these this season, actually. None of them. He's either not hit, he's either missed the ball, completely mishit it, but this one he hit perfectly into the corner. And Ahmad, actually, Nani actually got a winner in the last minutes. Clearance off the line, Murillo, and well, it was a joint effort between Murillo and Williams. Murillo would clear that ball off the line from Harry Maguire at the end of last season. So, you know, credit to United for coming back into the game after they went 2-1 down. But you do worry about these periods in matches where Manchester United do step off, and the midfield is an issue. As I say, Yates and Anderson, absolutely, just it was mainly running power, because, as I say, the biggest problem with Manchester United midfield too, when it is Fernandes and Casemiro, is that they both aren't, there's no sort of drive or massive running power there. They're more players, if you give them the ball at their feet, they let the ball do the work, basically. They're not runners, and United were caught out in that period. And the Sean Dyche side, you know, are always going to hassle you, and they aren't. He was always going to make his teams run. But the thing to remember is, Forest had lost their last previous four games, and I don't think they scored a goal in their previous four games, and they were eight games without winning a match. But United turn up, and, you know, that United get ahead in the game, then what you've got to try to do then is see the game out. They will be lacking a little bit of confidence. But they allowed Forest, in the first 5 minutes of that second half, to get themselves ahead and give them that, you know, a head of steam that they could use against Manchester United. And obviously United got themselves back in, which is to their credit. I mean, there were some question marks about the substitutes. I think what was actually important today was that Ahmad actually stayed on the pitch. United were worse against Liverpool and against Brighton last week when Abba went off the pitch. This time he actually took Dalot off and put Dorgu in at left wing back. And actually Dorgu was better today. So and then the only other change was Jorah for Mazraoui. So, you know, that you would think maybe make some attacking subs. Sesko didn't have his greatest game, and Bromo, and there was a moment, and Bromo was his usual. I mean the amount of running that Bromo does. There was a period where Forrest broke through the centre, Casemiro and Bruno Fernandes nowhere to be seen, and Bromo basically ran back to halt a Forrest attack, and you could see him afterwards telling him, why is it me that's here? That is a major problem. And you know, no attacking substitutions were made. As I say, Sesko didn't have as great as the game. Cunha really didn't get himself into the match at all, really. But you know what? You're going to get that in away matches. Sometimes in away matches, it's not your home comforts, where you sort of know the stadium, you know the nooks and crannies, the crowd are for you. You're going to get that. And United, as I say, they quiet the crowd at half time, but then 5 minutes into the second half, you allow the team to get back ahead. And worst of all, is they didn't just allow them to equalise, they allowed them to get ahead. So, you know, lots of things for the manager to look at and for the players to look at. And, you know, that, as I say, with the substitutes, as I say, there are some question marks against Amorim's changes. And, you know, if you are Xerxes or Mainu, maybe in an attacking sense, you're thinking, you're not bringing me on, we've not got a game midweek. And, you know, these are players that probably won't want to stay in January, but, you know, United may have to keep these players because they've got players who are going to the African Nations Cup, noticeably two of their better players, and then Bruno and Ahmad. And obviously Mazraoui will go as well. So, you know, Mainu and Xerxes will get opportunities. But it's when they get these, it's whether by the time we get to December and the African Nations Cup starts, sort of, I think the first match, that first round of Premier League games that players are going to be missed is the weekend of the 20th and the 21st of December. And, you know, that obviously that's before January, will players get an opportunity, but then they're coming in rusty as well, which, you know, is a bit harsh on them, but, you know, that's unfortunately where we are at the moment. So Essentially, I would say a good point for Manchester United is just disappointing how they got themselves into that position and then sort of essentially threw it away. But they threw it away with the same old issues. Midfield not being able to deal with, well, as I say, United probably got one of the worst midfields in the way that the team set up in the Premier League. And then just lack of pressure at the start of the second half, just lack of concentration. I mean, as I say, it's like they came out and it was, I don't understand how players can do that. You should be right on it. And part of that comes down also to leadership. Against Brighton last week, when Brighton got it back to 3-1, the leadership for that 10, 15 minutes was awful. You know, and Brighton had opportunities and were getting into dangerous positions when United should basically have seen the game out. And then, you know, they put that on themselves. As I say, good that they managed to get themselves back into the game. They could have nicked it at the end. They wouldn't have deserved to have won it. I think a draw, you know, over the pass is a fair result. But it's disappointing when you're in a position where you could have won the game or been in a stronger position in the game. And as I say, next week they go to Spurs. And from what I've heard, I've not seen the game, Spurs were awful today at home against Chelsea. They lost 1-0. But, you know, Man United is heading up next week. So, that, you know, as I say, I mean, there's all that talk that usually it's Spurs that go somewhere and allow a team to pick up form. But for Manchester United, Spurs, 4 defeats. And I keep going about 4 defeats to Spurs in one season. Is it going to be 5 on the bounce? Hopefully not next week. I'm out of my mate Linda's for the game. It's an early kickoff as well, and I'm out the night before. So hopefully my hangover will be less painful with Manchester United one, but we shall see. So as always, thanks for listening. All pods up at www.musicglobal.co.uk, up at various podcast platforms, Spotify, Podbean, Listen Notes, PCAST, Podchaser, search MUFC Global and it will come up. So, a point gained. So at least they've unbeaten four matches unbeaten. And if they can go to Spurs and get some kind of result, I mean, is a point good enough? I mean, I think if they can get away from Spurs without defeat, it's a good run of fixtures, but they'll have to start winning their next run of fixtures after that, as I say. Spurs will be wanting to bounce back after their defeat today. So United are going to have to be ready and be interested to see what he does with the team. I've got a funny feeling Mason Mount might squeeze himself into the team next week. He didn't get on today at all. So I think that might be the case. And they might play that fluid front three that served them well at Anfield. But we'll see how that pans out. So as always, thanks for listening. And I will be back at the Tottenham game next Saturday. Lunchtime kickoff.